meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
3, 2, 1, go!
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew Anderson. Mm-hmm. We sounding okay? Had a little technical problem here, Dr. Drew.
What happened?
At Westwood One. Shockingly, some of the equipment has malfunctioned.
No.
Yeah, it's true.
Did you hear there was a follow-on story to the little shutdown we had last week? Was the building almost burned down?
Good.
Are
you kidding? It would have been the best day of my goddamn life if this dump burnt down. My headphones aren't loud enough now, but everything's turned all the way up, and Anderson had to repipe it through like a Jimi Hendrix wah-wah pedal or something.
Specify that's not my fault, too.
No.
Your fault.
You know what Anderson is like? Anderson is like some Russian in the mid-70s in the height of the Cold War trying to keep the power plant pieced together before the inevitable Chernobyl hits. All right, Dr. Drew is over in New York tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, true.
Yes.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Is that right, Drew?
Yeah, I'm waiting my delightful 5:30 wake-up this morning.
Good times there, buddy.
Yeah.
Star Sailors are our guest tonight, new band out of Britain. We got James and James from the band. They're going to be playing at the El Rey this week, actually tomorrow night. Is that true, fellas?
Yeah,
this is going to be a long night. I can barely hear anything with these headphones, Anderson. Is there any? Nothing? You know I love the sound of my own nasally drone. Can you guys hear okay?
Yeah.
You doing all right? Bob, 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 Bob. Did that sound okay?
Yeah.
Try that again, Anderson. Let's make sure. Okay, thanks, Anderson. All right. Drew?
Yep.
Just be glad you're not here because we're going to end up throwing some furniture before the
night
is over.
I'm always glad when I'm out there.
Hmm. Star Sailor's new CD is called Love Is Here, and they're going to be joining the MTV Campus Invasion tour coming up as soon as they're done with their tour, which ends tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys done tours out in the States before?
We toured in January supporting the Charlatans UK.
Mm-hmm.
One of our favorite bands.
And do you like the United States?
Yeah, it's nice.
What part of it don't you like? I'm not really interested in the part you enjoy, but what part really, here's a good question. What part were you most surprised by?
Charlotte. Yeah, we were surprised by how much we enjoyed the South.
Oh, really?
The audiences in the South are far better.
Because it's sort of stigmatized, all that sort of hillbilly stuff and that hick stuff. I mean, did you guys hear about that, I'm guessing, in England?
Yeah. Definitely.
You guys had the Beverly Hillbillies over there?
that film, Deliverance.
Right. That's what it's like over there, right?
No.
It wasn't that bad.
Oh, wasn't that bad? Interesting. See, I'm from here. I'm from California, so I might as well just be from England in terms of I look at the South the same way you guys did, except for I've never been there, so I'm still thinking that way. All right. So, South was the most surprising and the best. What was the worst or most disappointing?
New York's always a bad one because it's such an industry based crowd. It's like all the media and all the TV kind of
right.
Hog the guest list and hog the tickets. So.
Right. The worst shows are when a whole bunch of people get comps and have laminates and show up, and they're not so interested in whatever the show is. They're interested in making the scene. So they're interested in being there, but they're not really big fans of whatever the show is. And this happens probably a lot in New York and probably a fair amount in L.A. too.
LA's a little bit better, actually. They've got quite a big fan base over here.
So the South, LA, and then New York, as far as where the best places are. All right. Yeah. We're going to hear something from Star Sailor before. I think we'll hear a couple of things probably in this. Probably hear something in the first break. Drew, you doing all right over there?
I'm doing great.
What time is it over there, Drew?
Well, 1:05.
What time are you waking up tomorrow?
Oh, 5:40.
5:40 New York time?
New York time.
So you'll be going to bed about 3:30?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, 2 hours.
Yeah.
Looking forward to them.
Yeah. Joe? Joe, you're 19.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I'm somewhat afraid of my girlfriend's sexual behavior.
Yeah?
I think she's a nympho.
Well, how does that hurt you?
It doesn't hurt me. At times it does make me sore, but I was wondering, is it healthy?
What are we talking about here? What's happening?
Well, sex about 4 to 12 times a day.
How long have you been with her?
9 months, 10 months.
And every day she has to do this?
Every single day.
And
that I'm with her.
Well, how do you do this and hold down a job or even a hobby?
Or eat?
I just recently became unemployed after a vacation that I took with her.
The implication being that she caused the unemployment there, Adam. You see that?
No, she didn't. She didn't cause that, but...
Is she employed?
No, she goes to school.
Okay, so...
In class.
At UT.
Is it a junior college situation, Adam? Sniff it out.
She's actually a 4.0 student at University of Texas Honors College.
Wow.
She's already a sophomore. She's only 18.
And you guys have been having sex at least 4 times and as many as 12 times a day for 9 months.
Yes, actually 10 months.
And does she have an orgasm?
It's been progressively getting better.
This is a ridiculous show, isn't it? They don't have anything like this in the South, I'm telling you.
I'm sorry. It was just something that I've been worrying about more.
Yeah.
More
so do you think she's like compulsive, like she was abused or something, and she's acting out?
I know that there's no history of abuse inside her family. Her family's actually fairly stable. I know that her
it doesn't have to be. Doesn't up. Listen. Joe, it doesn't have to be immediate family members necessarily to cause that kind of a rewiring of the brain that people develop into sexual compulsions.
Well, any way you slice it, this is the way she is. So what are you going to do?
Well, but there are three things to consider. One, is she manic depressive? Is she sort of...
Actually, she's become more depressive lately, yeah.
All right, so maybe there's a bipolarity here, number one. Number two, is she doing drugs or alcohol?
Not any alcohol, more of the THC.
So she's a marijuana addict.
Yes, marijuana.
And she smokes pot, and she's still good for 8 or 9 times a day?
Crazy.
Jeez, I can barely beat off when I get stoned. Even that's trouble.
The marijuana actually stimulates the activity.
That's interesting. It's kind of unusual. But and then number three, was she sexually abused in some way? And that's something you're going to have to ask her. But is she okay?
I've already asked her that, and I'm good. 100% sure it hasn't happened.
Is she okay in other areas of her life?
In all her family life is bland.
No, I mean, is she, other than this mild depression and the marijuana, is she functioning normally? Is school's going good? Everything else fine?
She's a 4.0 student, and she's already a sophomore, and she's only been in school for 6 months.
Well, this is how she is.
You got to get her vibrator. Can you just get her vibrator?
I've looked into that, yes.
Yeah, I would do more. More
she's
than
studying.
Look into it, I'd actually spend $10.
Yeah.
Okay.
How much research are you going to do on a dildo?
It doesn't bother me. The rapid sex doesn't bother me. It's something that is going to progress. If it does, is it unhealthy?
Well, the only thing you've told me that really sort of requires looking into or that suggests looking into would be worthwhile is the pot issue. And probably there's somewhere in there some connection with the sexual compulsivity, but... Be that as it may, if she's otherwise okay and functioning well, this may just be her.
Drew, what do they give, does saltpeter work on women, and what do they give, like, female inmates in prison? Do they have something to put in their food or something?
No. Uh-uh.
They don't? Well, when I'm in charge, we're going to do something.
There are things you can be on antidepressant medicines. The serotonin reuptake inhibitors shut them down pretty good. Progesterone, so the Provera shot, Depo shot, can cut things down a little bit.
Yeah, I guess there's not much call for this. But for this guy, I mean, I it's easy to make fun of, but, you know, between 4 and 12 times a day, every day, I could see that taking its toll.
You would wish you could dial it down to once or twice a day.
I would say. Do you know how angry my balls would be with me if I participated in this 10 times a day?
How about if you cut her down?
Well, yeah, they but they'd get over that because they'd just need a rest. Yeah, Corey?
Hi.
Hey, you're 17. What's up?
Well, I just want to say I'm a big fan of the show, and I think that if both you and Drew were gay, you would make just the cutest couple.
Thank you.
We're a cute couple anyway, aren't we?
Well, yeah, we're like one of those old gay couples that doesn't really get it on anymore. We just argue.
Anyways, here's my little problem. At my place of work, I have a manager who has a really big crush on me. And he's
a male?
Yes. Yeah. And he's only about 2 years older than me because... and he's only about 2 years older than me. And he thinks that, like, you know, he can ask me out. And he's kind of a cute guy, but he seems to just think that because I'm gay and he's gay that we, you know, just automatically Mr. Right for each other.
That's how it works, isn't it?
Well... Right. My real dilemma comes in because of the fact that, you know, he's my boss, and I'm worried that if I finally tell him once for all that there's, you know, no chance that we can go out, that he might, you know, flip out or fire me or something like that.
What kind of place is this?
It's structure, like, you know, we sell clothes.
Clothes. Is there anyone above him?
I'm sure there is. I mean, he's just the store.
But no one you have a relationship with, you would talk to about
No, no, no. I'm sure it's like a company executive or something.
Is he being inappropriate?
Well, listen, this is you get paid $7 an hour?
Oh, no, it's like $11.50, I think.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Not a bad gig.
Adam.
Wow, 17.
This.
You are a catch.
We could become a couple and work for structure.
Yeah, Drew, you could quit your doctor job. I could give up basic cable and we could really...
No malpractice insurance?
I would take care of you too, my pet.
I beg your
pardon. Worries would be over.
Oh, you'd build a house.
I would treat you like a queen. I would build you a gazebo. Put it in the backyard so you could read. And we'd, you could watch me watching TV all day. It'd be a great life. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Would that be wonderful?
Right. Yep.
Is he being inappropriate with you? Is he sort of violating boundaries, propriety?
Well, sort of. Like, he'll... Sometimes it's just sort of innocent flirting, and I can deal with that, but sometimes he'll be like, he'll bump up against me or, you know, and you can tell that it's more than just an accident.
Well, hold on. Let me ask our guests what they... what do you think? I mean, do you think you should tell him to knock it off, or do you think you ought to go out with him?
He's got to tell him to knock it off, hasn't he?
You don't think it'd be appropriate for him to date?
Well, he's in the stronger position, isn't he, if he's the younger party?
Well...
he could easily, if he did decide to fire him, he's got reasonable grounds to sort of...
Well, the older guy can't fire him because he has reasonable grounds to, like, sue him or something. I don't know what... They got a lot of that in England. Here, we can't fire people. Because you get sued for whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a lot of that there?
Sometimes it gets out of hand.
Right.
I think on this occasion, then, it would be an unreasonable reason to fire someone that, just because they didn't fancy it.
Hey, Corey?
Yeah?
Well, you say the guy's kind of cute.
Well, he is, but...
And he's single?
I don't really think there's any chance that I'm going to go out. I'm just not attracted to him.
Oh, you're not? All right.
No.
You have a boyfriend?
No, I don't.
All right, well,
could
just
you tell him that you do?
No, he's sort of asked me out, and I've just sort of said, well, I got to sort of think about it or something.
No, you got to be a little more direct. This is something I think you all guys, whether you're gay or straight, you need to learn how to do, which is how to say no clearly and respectfully.
But you don't think that he might treat me differently?
No, listen, tell him, look, you're my friend, you're my boss. I just cannot date somebody in the workplace. It just is too weird for me.
Yeah, but you want to know, I'll tell you the problem, though, of really underlining the workplace is he's going to think, this guy's attracted to me, and the only reason we're not dating is because we're working together, so I'm going to keep working on him. Maybe you do have to be a little more blunt and tell him that you're just not interested. Because
girls deal with this for a long time, and they just say they have a boyfriend.
Yeah, but he can't. This guy knows.
Yeah, well.
He already talked to him, right? He knows you don't have a boyfriend, right?
Yeah, he knows that.
Plus, you gays can have like 40 boyfriends, right? I mean, that part of the deal? That's part of the reason I want to be gay, Drew. You get 40 boyfriends.
Part of the reason. And also, you can marry Jimmy.
Yeah. All right there, Corey. Hey, Corey.
Yeah.
Yeah, just be upfront with him. But don't freak out. He can't fire you or anything. He'll sue him and all that stuff.
Right.
Meanwhile, you're ripping off all those mock turtlenecks and laughing all the way home.
It's good quality clothes.
I know.
I wear some of that stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even go into those places. I don't even know what that is. Those places where the mannequins are 10 times better looking than you are, and everything is pressed and nice. And then you start getting those shoes. I got those shoes, the big squared off front, the big buckles on them, and you're looking at them. And you know how you make fun of people from like the 70s or in the 80s and the junk they were wearing then? You go in there and you look at some of that stuff and you go, somebody's going to be making fun of me one day for wearing this crap, so I'm not doing it. No, I'm smart. I'm sticking with the sweatpants. Travis?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I have a question. Do condoms work in the water?
They work, but they have problems.
Oh, what kind of problem?
I mean, they slip off. There's a little extra friction there because the lubricants are being washed away, quite literally. Can tear. There's a little more failure rate in the water. It's hotter if you're in a jacuzzi. That's not so good for it.
Okay.
Where are you? In the pool?
Yeah, where are you going to be?
Wherever. Just thought it might be fun.
You have to be super aware. You got to be constantly checking it and whatnot, make sure it's on properly and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah,
when it comes off, you got to hold. You know, when you pull out, you got to hold the condom on, make sure it doesn't slip off.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know about the water and the condom. That seems like you're mixing two sensations or something to me. Doesn't that seem strange, like sort of one or the other?
Put an elastic band around it, so tight really.
You mean, yeah, but just a sensation feels weird. Or hypothetically, I've never actually used a condom in the water, but
I think the shower would be better.
Yeah, why?
Just
you get the water, and
you get the trickle.
See where you're in.
More romantic, and
Yeah. Drew, remember you used to have sex in the shower?
You and I?
No, I just mean in general.
Yes.
Yeah. Not anymore.
No.
What is that? Seems like such a good idea to have sex in the shower at a certain point in your life, and now it's like you just lie there in the bed watching TV.
Depends how big the shower is, I suppose.
Yeah, but even now, it's like there was something very novel about getting it on. I mean, you guys are young, right?
Yeah.
You get older, you don't want sex anywhere, just a bed, maybe the bed. Sometimes you do a little sofa run when you're feeling real naughty. But all that getting it on in the shower business, I mean, Drew, wasn't that kind of a highlight at one point in your career sexually?
It went up to the kitchen.
Kitchen? Yeah, just now you can't have sex in the kitchen because you'd be eating. I mean, you'd definitely go for the fridge at some point and someone would get angry. You'd pull out like a box of Nilla wafers or something.
I think this is all a sign of the rapidly dropping testosterone levels in the aging male.
Is that what this is?
That novelty suddenly becomes
a hassle?
Novelty equals hassle, yes.
Right. Let's go to another call. Find a chick, would you, Drew? What is it, all guys? Is every caller a guy?
Here's a chick.
Line 6, apparently. Yeah. Jamie?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, my ex-boyfriend, he broke up with me. Or I broke up with him because he cheated on me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a new girlfriend of 5 months. And he's been cheating on her with me.
Right.
Great situation, Jamie. Keep it up. this is the road to happiness.
You're right on target, baby.
Well, I don't know if I should tell her or not. Because I want to really bad. Because, I mean, she doesn't deserve that. Because I know how it feels.
Well, if she doesn't deserve
to feel the pain that you felt. Or you want to make sure she doesn't miss out on the kind of discomfort that you felt.
No, I want to make sure that, I mean, I don't hate her, you know. I don't want her to feel the way I did, you know.
Telling her, isn't that going to precipitate that feeling?
Yeah.
Oh, shocking. Oh.
I just think you got her confused with precipitate, and she just said yeah. She thought you were talking about rain. Jamie?
Yeah.
But, so, why are you cheating with this guy? I mean, ultimately, isn't this the guy you want to, don't you want to sort of punish him by not having sex with him? Why?
Yeah, we're not going that far.
See, her plan is to tell the current girlfriend so they both abandon him, which is not a bad plan, frankly.
He's getting his cake and eating it.
Yeah, it's a little distracting with him over here.
She may be eating some, too. I'm not sure if that got worked out. But, here's what's going to happen. If I know this guy, and I know the gals he attracts, he's going to then move on, start bopping somebody else, and then go back and nail the one that you broke him up with, and possibly you.
Probably.
So I see this as a means to three women now. As it is, he only has two.
Yeah.
What are you doing with him? You're not having sex?
No. I mean, everything but that.
Hmm.
Like, just, you know.
Oral sex?
No, not that, no.
Well, you know, that is everything but. What are you doing?
Just hand jobs.
Oh, I see. Is that really cheating? That's not cheating in the UK, is it, the hand job?
No, I don't think it is.
No.
I think it is, definitely.
You do? I don't know. That's more of a...
Consult the Geneva Convention, Adam, please. There's an international rule.
Oh, is there?
Yeah,
all right,
of course.
All right, we should look that up during the break.
I think there's this old masculine thing as like if the male does it, it's like bravado or something.
Right.
It's like, oh, shut up, don't worry about it. But if the female were ever to do anything like that, then it'd just be disgusting or something.
Yeah.
So.
Like call the double standard.
Yeah.
You're talking about cheating. Yeah. That's good. That's we took a long time to set that up in this country. Let's not screw it.
It turns out
you guys come into town, you throw off the whole balance.
Looking at double standards, that men establish the double standard, but once established, they're happy to have these women whom they have sort of set up pejoratively, negatively. They're still happy to date them and have them as friends. It turns out it's the women that perpetuate the double standard. Well, women will then tell their male friends, hey, don't date her, she's that kind of girl. They shun the ones that get the labeling caused by the double standard. So
right.
It's interesting. The men set it up and the women perpetuate it.
All right. Hey, Jamie?
Yes.
I just give him the hand.
Thanks. Drew gives the hand, too. So you're in very good company. All right, why don't you do this? Why don't you leave the guy alone, stop seeing him, and just basically move on?
But should
please.
I tell her?
No. No.
He's an idiot.
You don't have
to. You don't want him in your life.
That's not part of your responsibility.
All right.
And it's a bad sign. You're taking far too much interest in this guy. You broke up with him X amount of months ago. You just move on to another guy, okay?
All right. Thanks.
Not another abusive a-hole like this one, though.
No more with him, though, right?
Right.
All right. All right. Good times, everybody.
Yeah.
Cheers.
All right.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers. Hey, Adam, I need to say something here. I'm going to be doing Good Morning America tomorrow morning. I'm looking for people still who want to do some on-air, on-television interviews tomorrow morning at like 6 a.m., 6:30 Eastern.
Nobody's that stupid. Nobody's going to get up at that time, Drew.
I know you wouldn't even. I mean, it's like, to you, it's completely bizarre. Like, that's a thought that couldn't occur to you. But
that's
some
right.
People are, you know, wake up in the morning.
No.
In any event, if people want to call in, we're sort of focusing on ecstasy and club drugs, if any have experiences, or people are... have even friends, or if you're a parent, you're trying to cope with this, we're going to take those kinds of calls, too. So if you call in tonight, we'll take your phone number and call you back in the morning.
Oh, really? At what time? Like 7:30 or?
6 a.m.
6 a.m.?
Standard time.
No. Eastern?
6:30.
Wait a minute. 3 a.m.? True. Nobody is stupid enough to do that. Even people that don't have bad agents like you wouldn't do something like that. That is not going to happen. No. I forbid it.
Thank you, Adam. Thanks for helping.
All right. Anytime, everybody. Star Sailors are our guest tonight. We're going to hear something off the CD. First, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is in New York tonight. Dr. Drew is going to be in Good Morning America tomorrow taking calls. It's his big break, everybody, so we got to help him out.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's right, Drew. And this is it, too. If this doesn't work, that's it.
This is as good as it's going to get.
This is your last. This is the last train leaving the station career-wise for you. So.
Would you go one step further, please, and put like a curse on me?
Yeah, I put a pox upon Drew and all who interact with him tomorrow morning.
Oh my God!
Good morning, America.
I feel like I'm becoming empowered by the moment.
Yeah, what people don't realize is that when I put a curse on you, it leads to prosperity. So far, who'd I put a curse on? No Doubt.
No Doubt.
Put a curse on No Doubt about 5-6 years ago, and who else?
Fell apart immediately.
Yeah, well, a band should line up. You guys should hope I put a curse on your band. Because that's it. It's a skyrocket. It's a rocket ship ride right to the moon. And when I give your band a curse, although I don't know if you nullify the curse by pointing that part of it out in advance.
No, you did point it out a couple times to people who did quite well.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I should start selling my curses to agents, publicists, and managers. Mark.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Star Sailors, our guest, by the way. We got James and James from the band here, and we're going to hear something right after this call. So go ahead there, Mark.
Hello, Mark. My name's Mark.
That's right, Mark.
I know. Our line is, hello, Mark.
I am on the radio for the first time, so please bear with me. I just want to say, Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew, what I listen to your show every day.
Thank you.
And I get knowledge from it every day.
Thank you.
My question.
Knowledge, yes.
I am 22 years old, and I find myself masturbating constantly. I masturbate at least 4 times a day. And today I just
perfectly normal, perfectly natural.
Right.
I masturbated to Tara Patrick, Jenna Jemison today, and a whole
bunch. That's weird.
And my question is, sometimes I would masturbate to the point where my dick is still sore.
Right.
And I still would masturbate.
Yes,
I mean, I just want to know, well, I have 2 questions. And 2 days after that, when I don't masturbate, I have sex with my girlfriend.
Right.
And it would just go limp in the middle.
Yeah, well,
even in the middle.
I don't know if that's...
yes, it has something to do with it.
Too much.
Yes, Mark, yes. I think it's a good assumption, right? I mean, the fact that you're... First of all, it hurts to touch your penis. It's eroded off.
Yeah.
And B, there's, you know, no body fluids left in your system. Nothing to produce.
I'm interested in the part where the middle of his penis goes limp, but yet the base and the end are rock hard.
Is his name Mark?
Yes.
Is there a long-term effect?
Theoretically.
I mean, am I going to get something from masturbating too much later on in life?
Well, you go to hell, but that's later.
Well,
it's down the road. We can't worry about that.
To be honest, Mark, though, I masturbate quite a lot.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
good times.
Yeah, cheers.
Cheers. It's just time.
Thank you.
I agree. It's safe. It's legal in this country, and nobody gets hurt but the maid.
But there's no side effects to masturbating too much.
Well, hold on. Mark. I don't even know if I believe this guy. Mark,
I do.
What's your nationality? Yeah. What kind of talk is this?
Excuse me?
Where are you from?
Where am I from?
Yeah.
I'm from Burbank.
What's your ethnicity?
Ethnicity, I'm Cambodian.
Cambodian.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
I knew it. Mark, were you traumatized growing up? Did you see a lot of violence or sexual material at a young age? Anything like that?
No, I was not.
Okay.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. Why don't
I grew up perfectly healthy?
Okay. Why don't
drugs
you?
Drugs or alcohol in your life?
Huh?
Drugs or alcohol?
Just smoking.
Cigarettes.
Yeah.
Cambodians don't do any. They just don't.
No long term. Am I going to be impotent for masturbating too much?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Take it easy.
Who's number one?
Yeah. That's Minka. Do you know Minka?
No.
All right. So, Mark, who do you beat off to again one more time just for my records?
Tara Patrick, Jenna Jameson, Kobe Ty.
Right.
Jade Marcella.
Jade Marcella, right.
And a whole bunch of magazines.
Okay.
Who's number one?
And what about Minka, the number one Asian big boob queen?
What about getting rid of these?
I don't know.
All right, go ahead. Ask him. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what about getting rid of all these magazines with these pretty people in? Just throwing them away and just getting these magazines with really ugly.
Do they have that? Like low esteem magazines for people with low esteem?
In England, you get over 50s magazines if you want.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have those here, too.
Well, then he'd have to stop then, wouldn't he?
Yeah, it's not a bad point. Mark?
A little aversive conditioning?
Yeah, how
or
about...
Or if he looked in the mirror while he was doing it, that would really freak him out. So.
I tried that, but it made it worse for me. I mean, I did it more. Mark?
Yes?
You know, there's a couple of magazines. One's called 50 and Affable. And the other's called What Grandpa Used to Spank Too.
Oh, my
maybe
God.
I agree with James. Maybe you pick that up and it throws a wrench in your gears.
All right.
All right, but just slow it down a little. That's all.
Okay, I will.
Jeez. All right there, buddy. You try to limit yourself to 20 times a week.
Oh, okay, what about 15? I'll make you guys.
All right, let's do 15.
I'll make it happy. Good.
Call 15.
Mark, then you'll be able to have sex with your girlfriend again.
Yeah, probably.
All right.
All right.
Without the middle of your penis going limp. Okay. And, you know,
it's nice to help, isn't it?
It really feels good. It really feels like we're making a difference, you know?
Yeah.
Here's a guy who used to beat off 4 times a day. Now he's beating off 3 times a day.
Oh, a triumph.
And without us, I got to believe he'd still be doing it 4 times instead of 3 times a day, Drew. And that's when it feels good. That's what makes it all worthwhile.
Bob Geldof's got nothing on us.
No, yeah, I know. What's he doing? He's raising a bunch of grain for some third world country? Well, we got guys beating off right here in our own country. Understand? And we start at home. That's where charity starts, in Burbank or wherever, or Cambodia or wherever this guy called from. All right, let's hear something from Star Sailor. You queued up there, Anderson? This one's called Good Souls. Why they're on the show, because they're good. Love Is Here is the name of the CD. Drew, why are you on the show?
Because I can't, not because I'm good, of course.
That's right. You must know somebody. I think you just got here first. That was the deal.
Yeah, well, that's how things work, right?
He's the one who sucks.
Yeah, Star Sailor's our guest tonight. That's a little something off the CD. We'll hear something else. In the second hour, Luis?
It's Luis.
Luis,
yeah.
You're 21. What's up?
My question was, how effective is vasectomy in preventing a pregnancy? Is it
nearly 100%?
The what?
Is it 100% or not?
Nearly. You have to get 3 or 4 subsequent sperm tests in the 6 months or so after the procedure to make sure there's nothing sort of getting through. But if screened properly, yeah, it's essentially 100%.
What is it?
But you're 21. No one's going to give you a vasectomy at 21.
No,
unless you have 8 kids or something.
True. Is that what he said? Hold on. Shut up. Thank you. Hey, Drew? Did you have trouble hearing vasectomy? Or are people taking their words and kind of making them, hitting different syllables or something tonight? Or is it just me or because of my headphones?
It's just you.
Is it?
Yeah, I heard it.
You heard it?
Yeah.
Guys, James, you know her?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Jameses? Yes.
I didn't know.
James boys? Yeah? No. All right, Luis?
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. So vasectomy, 100%. There you go.
But no one's going to give you a 21 as vasectomy unless you have 8 kids.
Well, I have 2 kids, and I already had a vasectomy in December of 2000.
All right.
Because, I mean, I don't want any more kids, obviously.
Well, you're not going to have any more.
I don't want any more, but...
Okay. Yeah.
Doesn't he deserve, like, the Congressional Medal of Honor or something, Adam? I mean, he's had 2 kids, he's 21, and he went out and took care of it.
He certainly deserves a windbreaker.
Well, he knows his penis can't be trusted.
Right.
Right?
Yes. Hey, Luis?
Yeah.
That's good. And did they give you a hard time about getting a vasectomy at such an early age?
Well, no, not really. I had, I was getting another surgery done, so I just told them while they're down there, you know?
Right.
What were they down there for, by the way?
But I was getting my teeth cleaned.
I had an undescended testicle, and it was
removed. I see.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, the reason I was asking was because my girlfriend, she's late in her in her period, and she's been having, like, side effects or effects of a pregnancy.
No, she's just cheating, but that's not you. I like that thinking, though. I mean, like, you know, like when you go get that brake job and they go, well, as long as we're taking the rotors off, we should just probably go ahead and repack those front bearings. And you're like, yeah, well, sure, if you're going to pull the rotors, you're not going to charge me for as much labor. Sure, go ahead and do that and, you know, put some new pads on there and turn the rotors. Like, I like that. I never thought it pertained to the human body, but, Drew, it does work that way, doesn't it?
No, well, we don't like to think it does.
Well, I know, but you, Drew, you've told me that you do stuff where people say as long as you're going to be opened up or we're going to be there,
occasionally.
Let's take care of this.
I mean, you'll be very often gynecologists will take out the appendix when they're monkeying around the ovaries. I just had a guy last week.
Really?
Gynecologists?
Yeah. Did you say? Yeah. They take the appendix out through the... Oh, they don't go up the vagina, though, right?
No, it's when they're doing some ovarian procedures through the abdomen. And I just had a guy last week who had a tricep tendon rupture re-repair, and they took out a big olecranon bursa while they were at it. And so,
Sure, if you got an extra olecranon bursa floating around in the tricep area, you might as well grab that. True?
Good time.
I always thought gynecologists had to go through the vagina to do anything, otherwise they couldn't be gynecologists.
It's some sort of entrance requirement.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, no.
So they're allowed to cut on you up there, too, huh?
Well, and theoretically, they are just women's health experts that they are in our pelvic surgeons.
Mm-hmm. I like to think of them as sort of like vagina spelunkers. Do you know what I'm saying?
No kidding. Well, if you thought that was all they did was walk in through the vagina, what else would they be?
Well, that's the way I choose to look at it. Okay. You want to take a little break?
Oh, yes, I do.
Who else do you want to talk to when we come back?
This conversation's going bad fast.
I just thought when I hear gynecologist, I picture going in through the vagina. I never picture cutting up above the vagina. It's like, you know, I could do that. Yeah. Drew?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Who do you want to get it together now? Who are we going to talk to when we come back?
Dave in from Chicago.
Who's got once in the long-term effects of using speed for 3 years?
Yeah.
Now. No,
well,
no,
let's see
like
what else comes up on the screen then, because they're all kind of like that right now.
All right. Hey, all right. Hey, screeners, get us something good. Yeah. Something titillating. Something fun. I like a big jug call.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Get us a good fun call. I want to forget my worries.
Bouncy, bouncy.
By making fun of somebody. But, you know, I don't want some speed freak. And we'll talk to Dave, but we're going to talk to someone more fun first, and then we'll get back to Dave, all right? That sounds like a good plan, right? Cheers?
Yeah, definitely.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Star Sailor's our guest tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew over in New York tonight. getting up in about 3.5-4 hours. Going to do Good Morning America. James Walsh and James Stelfox are both here from Star Sailor. Love Is Here is the name of the CD. We already heard one good song off it. We'll hear another good song in the 11 o'clock hour. Drew, you all right there,
yes,
buddy?
Yes, yes.
Drinking some coffee?
Jesus, everything. You talk to me right when I take a huge
smoking and sipping.
Yeah. Sip. Having a cup of coffee there, Drew?
Right into the lungs, yes.
All righty. All right, so you get pneumonia, right?
There we go.
Jeremy.
Yeah.
You're 25.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I want to talk about a couple of things. Ecstasy and the little orange THC pill. I've taken those before, and I had fun. But I don't like smoking weed, so maybe you could explain that.
Oh, the THC, the medical marijuana pills?
I guess, yeah, they were orange, and somebody told me that they were THC pills, and, you know, it's like smoking a joint without smoking a joint.
Marinol is the THC pills, and most people don't get very high from that. So I wonder if this is something different.
Are they orange, Drew?
Not that I've ever seen. So I don't know what this ought to be. And the thing about things you take that you ingest orally when it's THC is you get higher doses going. You really can take a lot in. So you may have liked it more because you were getting a bigger dose.
Drew, give me some of those so I can...
some Marinol?
Well, it's important because this question comes up and I want to give them educated answers.
Yeah, again, in my experience, that people don't like the Marinol because whatever is in the... There's, you know, multiple chemicals in the smoked marijuana and only a few of them cause the high part. And if they're not getting the high part, they're not so happy with it.
So THC is not... isn't that the high part or just one of the high parts?
One of like 40 isomers, they have little variations on it in the smoke.
All right, so, James, you got off on the THC pills.
Jeremy,
yeah. Sorry.
That's all right.
James and Stella did, too.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I was drinking beer, and I took one of those, and somebody told me they were for AIDS patients.
That's Marinol. Yeah, that's what Marinol can be used for, so maybe it was Marinol.
All right, well, and what's your next question or comment?
The ecstasy. Why does it get such a bad rap? I mean, I know it's not good for you, but in my opinion, I think just about all drugs, as long as you use them in moderation and have a little self control. I mean, I'm 25 and I've obviously experimented since probably 19, 18, and I don't do anything now. I just drink.
But that's the scary thing about ecstasy is you only have to use it 8 or 10 times, and 10 years later you can start getting these awful, awful depressions from it. And that's why I harp on it, because it's so scary that it's one that you can't kind of monkey around with much and escape long-term problems. Plus, it must be so gratifying, it must be so fun that it's hard to do it just a couple of times.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, at first I didn't understand, I guess, why, because I did it for a year straight, at least, and it was like a every weekend type of thing. I wouldn't do it 3 times, you know. I wouldn't do it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but I'd do it at least Friday and Saturday, and then I would wait a week. And I did it for probably 9 months, and I'm telling you, what, I mean, I had a blast, no doubt.
I'm sure of it. But now, how old were you when you did that?
I was 24, 23, right, so right last 2 years.
Yeah, sometime in the next few months, a couple of years, you might start noticing that you don't want to socialize as much, you don't like going outside as much, and on the heels of that, you'll start to feel some pretty heavy depressions. That's sort of the way this typically goes.
Yeah.
And you've certainly taken enough of it to get that, so.
Well, look, and here's the deal, Drew. This isn't all carved in stone. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen to each and every person, but if it happens to 1 out of 10, that's a pretty significant number.
And the levels that Jeremy is using, you're probably more like 9 out of 10.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know a lot of people do this and have done it, and I don't see this. And I don't know if this doesn't seem to resonate with everybody, Drew, because I don't think they're experiencing this the way you're describing it.
Well, maybe, again, I see a population that is having symptoms, so it's hard to know what percentage is not having symptoms. But
right.
Somebody that does, what's he done, 50, 60, 70 times, you do a PET scan of those people, their brain is functioning very differently than it did before the ecstasy. And that eventually causes some symptoms. Now, they may be mild. They may not really equate them with what, you know, with the drug use.
Right.
Because usually it's sort of a generalized anxiety, and they're not functioning quite as well as they used to, and they don't really notice it as something specific.
All right. Tamara?
Hi.
Or is it Tamara or Tamara?
It's Tamara.
Tamara. All right.
It's a camera with a T.
Right. That's another one of those names, though. You do get the Tamaras and the Tamaras, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the Tamaras. And the Tamaras. Oh, Christ, with your crazy parents and the five pronunciations of your name. All right there, whatever you are.
My question is, I'm 24, and my best friend was murdered, actually it's 3.5 years ago. Hmm. And the person he was murdered by was another one of my really good friends.
Wow. Wow. Hold on a second, because we got to go to break.
Okay.
But I will be interested, as I'm sure
it's
a guest.
Very interesting
yes,
story.
And listeners will be, to hear all the details of this and why one of your good friends murdered another one of your best friends.
Yeah.
All right, so just hold tight, all right?
Okay.
Tamara. And we'll take a quick break.
Okay,
and then
great.
You give us all the details, all right? All right. Star Sailor's our guest tonight. We'll take a quick break, and we'll get back to the details of that murder after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew out there in New York tonight. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Art Alexakis will be in here from Everclear tomorrow night. That'll be good because we like Art and haven't seen him in a little bit. Drew?
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah. You want to cough into the mic or are you all right?
No.
You good?
You didn't begin talking to me just as I was swigging on something.
Yeah, I guess that would be my fault for bringing you into the conversation on a national radio show that you co-host.
How dare you?
How dare you? Star Sailors are our guest tonight. James Walsh is here, and so is James Stelfox from the band, and we'll hear something else off the new CD in just a couple of calls from now. Tamara. Yeah. 24. So your friend killed your other friend.
Right.
What's the story there? What happened?
I'll make a long story short. I have a 4-year-old, but at the time he was 9 months, and I was supposed to meet my best friend who was murdered at his apartment, and
Wait, hold on.
And I got there, and I walked in, and there was his keys and everything was on the table, and it just looked really odd to me. And my other friend, who lives across the hall, I went over there and I knocked on the door, and he's like, "No, I haven't heard from him." Well, about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, wait, backtrack for
slow
a second.
Slow down. Okay. Yeah.
You walked into the apartment?
No, I walked into my friend's apartment.
Right,
next door.
Who was my best friend who was murdered. I walked into his apartment.
That's what I'm saying. You walked into his apartment, you saw his keys.
I saw his wallet. He didn't drive.
And
did you have a key to his apartment?
Yeah, I had a key to his apartment.
Okay, there you go.
I've been best friends with this guy since 1990.
Okay, well, that's the part you left out. We're worried about how you got it.
We were as tight as two people.
I understand. So you went in, and he was gone, but it seemed like he shouldn't have been gone because his stuff was there.
Right.
Right.
I waited a couple minutes, and then I went next door to a buddy of mine as well, and I knocked on the door, and I said, "Hey, have you seen... I'm not going to say his name, but have you seen my friend?" And he's like, no, I haven't. I said, "Well, we're supposed to meet here, and he's not here, and, you know, if he's going to be late, can I wait in here?" And he's like, "No." He's like, "I'm busy." And so I was like, "Okay, no problem." So I went back next door, and I waited for like a half hour, nothing. I called his cell phone, and his cell phone was on the table. And so anyway, so I came back home, and I just waited, and about 4:30 the next morning, his aunt, who was also a good friend of mine, she called me, asking me if I've heard from Scotty, and I said, "Oh, sorry."
Whoever.
Yeah, all right.
I slipped.
Well, you could have been referring to his nationality.
Yeah, he's Scottish.
Right.
And I said, "No, you know, we're supposed to get together," and he never showed. So I just cruised on home, and she said, "Well, he's been missing all day long. No one has heard from him. He hasn't been back to his apartment. So we called the police station and filed a missing persons report. And they really didn't seem to care too much because he wasn't the best of a... He was a troublemaker in high school. And they were just like, well, he'll show up type attitude.
How did they know that?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't, but they didn't really care either. So
how did they know he was a troublemaker?
Oh, because he was arrested many times in high school, and it was the same. It was the same city that he lived in.
All right, so they pulled the guy's name up on a computer, and it came up that he had a record, and so they just thought he was into more trouble.
Yeah.
Okay.
Help me understand. There's a few sort of background details I'm curious about. You have a lot of guy friends.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know. I was raised with two older brothers, and
Do you date these guys sometimes, or
no,
are you,
no,
you
have no,
sort
no,
of
no.
friends with
no,
benefit
no, no.
kind of thing?
I'm sorry.
Are they gay?
No.
True.
No.
How dare you try to drag
the
good name of this deceased individual through the dirt?
You know where I'm going? You know what I'm saying? She is.
No, I don't know her. How dare you?
I have girlfriends too.
All right. Well, hold on a second, Drew. Calm down over there. I want to find out what happened to this guy.
So anyway, so to make a long story short, we hadn't heard from him all weekend, and it was really starting to press on us, like, what happened here? He hasn't called any of us. He hasn't called me. He hasn't called his aunt. It was just not like him to do that. He would at least, you know.
All right. Yes, yes,
right,
yes.
Whatever. So we went over to his neighbors, the guy, my
right,
friend.
Right, right.
So we went over there and we started a missing person party. We started calling everyone we knew. We put up flyers around the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It was a late night, and just to put it lightly, and we just, you know, we didn't.
Hey,
hold
on, hey baby.
Yeah.
Let's kick this one into overdrive.
Okay.
Bring it on home.
So, the next day, I went to school. I was in college at the time. I went to college.
Yeah.
And,
this is not...
wake up, have breakfast, a little yogurt, and...
I had an egg. I basted, I believe. No, wait a minute. Soft-boiled.
Over easy.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I got home.
Yes.
Toast, a little light butter.
I had a call about what happened to him. He was pretty brutally murdered by this other gentleman, and it happened in this other gentleman's apartment, and supposedly the day that he was missing that I went over to his apartment, he just ended killing him.
The neighbor.
Right.
The guy across the hall.
Right. And I, myself, have been dealing with a lot of guilt regarding this situation.
Right.
I keep on saying to myself, you know, if I was on time or if I was a little bit earlier... You know, I could have stopped this.
No way. You would have been killed, too.
I could have helped him, you know.
No way.
Well, it's possible.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah.
I don't want to make you feel bad. I'm just saying, it wouldn't necessarily mean she'd get killed, too. But what happened, and why did he kill him?
Well, my friend loaned him $6,000, and he wanted his money. And he kept on getting impatient about the guy paying him back. He just never even talked about it. He never said he was going to pay him.
All right. So where did he kill him?
There's a ton missing from this story.
There's a bunch of drug
there
stuff.
There's a ton missing from it.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you the details, you know?
Yeah. hey, just listen for a second. Did he... All right, I'll just ask the questions. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Where did he kill him?
He killed him in his apartment. He beat him... they said he had blunt trauma to his head. He beat him with a baseball bat.
In his own apartment.
In his own apartment.
The one that you had the key to.
Right.
And then...
No. In my buddy's... In his neighbor's apartment. His neighbor killed...
Right.
My friend in his neighbor's apartment.
Your son?
No, my friend.
Oh, your friend. Okay,
right,
good.
He was murdered.
All right, so he brought him... He killed him over there. And where was the body? Over there?
Well, that's the thing. He cut his... This is really gross. He cut his legs off, and he put him in a duffel bag and threw him in a river that's in the area and put his body in a crate and put it in a public storage locker.
And
this is not a guy who just happened to get carried away with a baseball bat. This is a regular killer and somebody who also was probably a drug dealer.
Yeah. It was a drug deal thing.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. See, here's my thing about people owe me money. I got a lot of deadbeats in my family owe me money. And sometimes I think about killing them, friends, things like that. Everyone seems to owe me money, but shut up. How do you get paid back? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I understand the breaking the thumbs and the kneecaps and everything, but once you kill someone, you got to figure you're not going to be paid, at least in a timely fashion, and certainly with no interest.
Right.
You
know,
you got to pretty much count on not getting paid back at that point. Well, but yes,
it wasn't like a $6,000. Just recently, it was over a two-year period.
Well, no, I understand. If it had been 24 months, then no court in the land would convict this man.
Right,
I didn't understand. I mean, I thought it had just been a couple of days. I didn't know.
I have to also understand, too, my friend was trying to pull himself out of the whole dealing area. I mean, he was going clean. He was clean for 6 months.
All right.
And he was trying to just get
his life. He may have been, maybe he also was going state's evidence or something, too. I mean, you don't know. Something else might have been going on here.
I know very well. I was in interrogation for 12 hours.
Okay. Well, anyway, okay.
I knew what was going on. I had daily contact.
Okay, listen to me, screwball. We got to figure out what to do with you and your kid now.
I'm not a screwball.
Well, you're
hanging out with screwballs.
You're running around with a pretty dicey element there.
I have a great life. I just recently got married in May. I have a six-month-old baby. I have a wonderful husband.
Good. No, we care. And I'm glad everything's behind you and now you're still having these post-traumatic stress disorder. Yeah.
I've been having severe nightmares since the situation has happened.
Sure,
nightmares,
of course.
To the extent where I beat the crap out of my husband in my sleep and I don't even know I'm doing it. Nightmares to the extent where I'm walking in my sleep. I almost opened my apartment door and walked out of it. My husband wasn't awake to see me. Who knows what have happened? I have never had nightmares like this before.
All right, well, Tamara, this is all part of the post-traumatic stress reaction or stress disorder, and it has treatments. You ought to avail yourself of that. Go to a psychiatrist or psychologist who's used to dealing with this, and it's something that can be made better rather quickly, in fact. But also, the fact that you're 2 years or 3 years of still having PTSD does suggest that, you know, the symptom, the intensity of the symptoms you get from a traumatic experience very much is determined by the condition you're in when you get to the trauma.
Right.
You know what I mean, Adam?
Yes.
Cameron had some stuff going on already.
Well, you know, it's like once in a while you hear about some guy getting into a bad, let's say, motorcycle accident, but the doctor mm-hmm. says he was such a fine athlete and such a great specimen that it saved his life.
Right.
And that we think he'll have a full recovery based on how strong he was
right.
before he got in this horrific accident. It's the same way emotionally.
Right.
If you're strong emotionally and then something horrific happens, you recover more quickly. But if you're sort of bad shape when the accident hits, then it's going to be you're going to be using crutches for a long time.
That's right. That's right.
So she needs to just get herself some help. Yep. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Adam.
The James boys wanted to talk to Andy up here.
Oh, okay.
Line
on
five.
Hold on, please.
You want me to do that?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Andy. Oh, you want me to do that?
Yeah.
All right.
I know it's a lot to lean forward there and push your finger on that button. But
well, it's not so much that I have to push the button. It's that I have to physically lift my hand and move it to the button. It's not like
and
it was over
forward.
The button.
You have to lean forward.
Well, I am kind of lean forward already. But again, the hand was resting 8 to 10 inches away from the board, Drew.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you putting out
that. Yeah, just as long as you don't know what I'm going through here. Andy?
Huh?
Hey, guys.
Hey, you're 24.
Hey, yeah, I have a question for Dr. Drew about amphetamines. I found out recently that my sister, who's 30 and a little nutty, got into some amphetamines when she was about 2 years old. And it was like a one-time thing. So I was wondering,
how did this happen?
How? I think my dad had them because he was taking some board exams and just had them around. That's all I know.
I mean, she swallowed some amphetamines pills?
Yeah, apparently. And all I know is that what my mom says was that she was higher than a kite for 2 days.
Well.
And that's all I know. We don't know how much or whatever. Now, I was wondering, it's more of a leading question. I'm wondering, would it have, like, fried her liver or something? Because she has serious detoxification issues. And
what do you mean,
like,
detoxification issues? From what?
Well, you've heard of people with multiple chemical sensitivities and stuff like that, and they're kind of nutty and can't be around people who, you know, smell of perfumes and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, those people are just nuts.
Well, that's what I said.
Everyone who's allergic to more than two things is crazy.
I know, that's
the people
saying.
Who have all that environmental problems, like they can't go in the house because of the synthetic carpet or the paint on the wall or all that stuff.
I was just wondering.
They're just
what
crazy. They deserve our abuse, like not... not our sympathy, but yes,
right.
she
but
has this.
What Dr. Drew's take was on it.
Drew, go ahead. Tell her she's nuts.
So did the amphetamine exposure have anything to do with the condition she's in now? Is that what you're asking?
No, not really. What kind of? But I'm wondering what effect would amphetamines have on her?
I don't know that anyone can tell you. The kinds of brain damaging effects we see from ecstasy are in people that use it for years on end.
Mm-hmm.
A single exposure in a childhood, don't know.
Well, might have had something. You said ecstasy.
I beg your pardon, amphetamine.
Amphetamine, yeah.
But truly amphetamine we're talking about. I think the fact that Dad had amphetamines and Mom described a two-year-old as higher than a kite, it sort of says more about what might predispose to her nuttiness than the fact that she was exposed to amphetamines. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Why did your dad have amphetamines sitting around?
You're studying for boards.
Yeah.
Okay, there's something up there with your dad, and that your mom would look upon a two-year-old as higher than a kite and describe a two-year-old
well,
dad.
Well, she's not a doctor.
She didn't sleep for 2 days, and she was hyperactive. I mean, my mom gives us these very crude
kind of descriptions. She's just a simple woman.
You're making my point for me, Andy.
I think
that has more to do with things than probably the amphetamine.
Well, what is up with your sister? She can't handle anything in her environment?
Pretty much. And, well, I think what happens is that people can't handle her is a big deal. And I have a terrible relationship with her
Good.
Because of that.
Cut her off. So. How old is she? 31? Oh,
yeah.
Wait till she gets in her 60s. then the super complaining begins.
Right.
Yeah, just cut her off.
Okay.
Look, everyone, just cut off all those crazy people in your family. Just do it. I have no problem with it. Here are the rules. You have to act sane, you have to behave yourself, and you have to play nice. And if you don't do that, then you're out.
Well, let me get Kroll's rules right. Act sane, play nice.
Act sane, play nice, and behave yourself.
Okay.
And if not, you're cut off.
Mm.
All these environmental hazard people are always nuts. Do you know what I'm talking about, Drew?
Yeah.
Would you disagree?
Not necessarily. I mean, I know what you're talking about. There are people that truly have allergic sensitivities, but that's a very characteristic syndrome.
Well, they're just weak, and they should be punished as well.
Okay.
Look, here's my question. Did you ever meet anyone who was allergic to a whole bunch of stuff that you liked?
Our keyboard player is allergic to everything.
Do you like him?
And you hate him.
You hate his guts, right?
I love him.
Yeah, but you like him.
Yeah. You love him, but do you like him? That's a very good distinction.
That's a question in itself.
All right, let's take a question for a Star Sailor.
Okay. I thought we were going to hear a song, though, no?
Yeah, we will. Let's take this question and we'll hear the song. Right. Linda?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Not much. I just wanted to say hey to the guys from Star Sailor.
Hello.
Hey, I had a question for you. I totally love your album. Like, we bought it the first day it came out here. It's so great. What's the story behind Lullaby? Because that's, like, my favorite song. What do you know, like, where it came from? Why you wrote it?
Not exactly.
Oh.
I know I was reading a magazine, and there was an article about Kurt Wagner or Neil Casal or some alt country singer, and they... headline was The Quiet American, and the lyrics just came around that, and the chorus
is cool.
It's just about when whatever has happened to you in a day where you feel down or whatever, there's a certain melody that can pull you through.
I have another question for you.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys are playing tomorrow night in LA?
Yeah.
Do you know if there's any like tickets left or anything?
I think it's actually sold out, that
really?
Show. We're probably back in...
dying to see you.
Well, you're in San Diego. Were you going to come out?
I'm sure if you ask Dr. Dre, you might get your ticket.
Dr. Dre. Hey, Dr. Dre.
Dr. Drew.
That's my main mayonnaise.
That's Snoop. Hey, Linda.
Yeah.
Were you going to drive out from San Diego?
Oh, yeah.
That's quite a way. I'm sure we can be on list then.
Yeah. Really? If you're going to make that kind of commitment and you're not fat, I bet the band could get you in.
Okay.
All right. Well, I mean, look, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but you guys got some pull. It's your gig, right?
Yeah.
They'll raise a decent-sized venue.
Her plus a friend, it'd be all right. If she leaves a name, I'm sure we can do it.
All right.
Really?
Good.
For me and a friend?
Yeah, yeah, cheers.
You're fast.
True, please. We're gonna put you on hold, all right?
Okay, cool.
What are you going to do? Are you going to call in sick to work tomorrow, or are you going to get out of school? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm the boss, so I'll just call someone in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where do you work?
I work at a hair salon.
Well, I'm all right. Boss,
all right. You tell one of them fairies to watch you register while you come out to L.A.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right, good times there. Now, just stay on hold, and we'll try to work that out, all right?
Okay, thanks.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Tay, why don't we hear a song from Star Sailor? Can we do that?
Yeah.
I think we got a few minutes. You ready there, Anderson?
Sure.
This one's called The Poor Misguided Fool. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Drew over there in New York. Star Sailor's our guest tonight. James and James are both in here representing the band. Love Is Here is the name of the CD. And the concert tomorrow night at the El Rey is sold out, as it should be. All right, Drew, you ready to keep going here?
Here we go.
Michael, 29.
Hey, is this Adam?
That's right.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, I'm calling from Sacramento. I have a statement and a couple of questions if I can ask you.
Mm-hmm. He's going to issue a statement.
My statement is I just got out of a month ago out of the California Rehabilitation Center in Norco. Do you know where that is?
Yep.
And what happened was my house was raided and they confiscated 357 ecstasy pills and 2 pounds of marijuana. And I've been doing a lot of raves for the last couple of years, all through San Jose and San Francisco. And
you can hear it in your voice. I mean, you sound like deflated
That's another question I have, but after the statement. I don't see any of the effects that Drew was talking about. You know, everybody that I know still wants to go out and have fun. And I think the big concern I have is I think a lot of people are getting the liquid ecstasy and the actual real drug ecstasy mixed up. The GHB is the GHB they're calling liquid ecstasy, and it's totally different. It's a date rape drug.
Your radio down.
And yet, Michael, we can hear in your voice the long-term effects of this drug, and in your thinking and your way you express yourself. I mean, if you didn't tell us, we would guess you'd done a lot of ecstasy just based on you sound depressed and you're having trouble with word finding. That's sort of the typical thing.
Well, be fair, Drew. You could have guessed head trauma.
Yeah, that's the other option.
No, listen, as far as the mix-up between the GHB called liquid ecstasy and the ecstasy pills, I don't think there's big confusion with that. We have not experienced that confusion on this show, have we, Drew?
No. But there is occasionally in certain raves you will see things being passed around, obviously, that are not what they think they're buying. For instance, you can get LSD and heroin mixed together, an opiate mixed together, sold as ecstasy.
How much time did you get for all this?
Well, I was supposed to do a 9-month program, but I did about 14 months. The courts kind of, lie to you a little bit about it.
But wouldn't, I would think you'd be doing some serious time for that amount of drugs being seized on your property.
Well, it was a 6-year sentence, but as long as you complete the drug program in the CRC, you get out after between 9 and 14 months.
Wow. Hmm. Good to know. I think I might start dealing. Did you not?
Are you participating in treatment still?
Yeah. Part of the program they don't tell you in court is you have to go to a 6-month drug program upon release, so I'm in a drug program right now.
Right. You have a sponsor? You work in a program?
Yeah, I have a sponsor. I'm doing 90 meetings in 90 days right now.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah, but the question I have is, being in there for 2 years, you know, you look at a lot of playboys, you don't have much sex, and I'm going crazy out here. I'm having sex with about anything that walks. And I'm just feeling deflated, and I'm wondering if having sex so much.
Hold on, Michael, you got to turn your radio down first, buddy. You understand?
The radio?
That's the thing that the voice comes out of.
Oh.
Well, actually, it just has knobs on it. The voice comes out of those square things that are off to the side, in your case, sitting on cinder blocks.
Yeah.
Right.
It's been a long time.
No, it's cool, man. I know it takes a while to get adjusted to the outside world.
But what I'm having somebody turn it down right now.
All right.
What I'm wondering is are you losing a lot of protein in the sperm and a lot of vitamins? Is that what's happening?
No. No, absolutely not.
If that were true, I'd be in a wheelchair right now.
What you just said is very stupid.
Now, Michael, no, this may be more related to the ex-drug use.
Right, that's what this
than
is.
Than the sperm.
Right, this is... How many months sober are you now? Completely. Completely
about 2
sober.
Years. About
completely
2 years.
Sober?
Yeah, because I was in the county jail for about 8 months fighting the case, and then I went down to the Norco for about 14 months. So it's
as I mentioned earlier, very often the depressions from ecstasy take a couple of years to really come on in full force. So you're probably right on course for that. Another thing is that the year anniversaries from recovery tend to. There are times in which depressions commonly come on for recovering people. In fact, it's usually 1, 3, 5, and 7. When we'll all of a sudden see a depression develop. And whether or not that's the result, again, of the biology just playing out, or whether something's about the way in which people get better and the kind of material they get into after a few years, no one knows for sure.
All right. Well, how come whenever anyone calls a show to make a point, they always make a point but it was usually our point.
Yeah, they make it for us.
I mean, his point was basically saying, listen, you guys have been talking a lot of smack about ecstasy, and I'm here to tell you that that's just a bunch of rumor and innuendo.
It seems really stupid that someone would sort of defend something that's so obviously caused great sort of distress in their lives. It's like smokers,
right,
who sort of get a cough and say, it's the room, it's the air conditioning.
It's exactly right. But in these guys' case, it's even worse, though, because all they know is, hey, I feel like crap. And they don't want to make the connection. It's too painful to say, geez, maybe those things I put in my system effed me up. I'm screwed up now. And that people don't want to do that.
Yeah, well, it sort of makes mathematical, biological, and even sort of cosmic sense that if you get out of your gourd enough times by ingesting enough substances, that there's going to be some repercussions or some payback from just emotionally and just from a sort of brain chemistry standpoint. I mean, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure out that if you get high as a kite hundreds, maybe thousands of times, then there's going to be a point where you have to sort of pay the fiddler. I mean, it's like Drew always says this, and I don't want to sound preachy, but here goes, that there's no free lunches as far as nature goes. That the people that get the boob implants 10 years down the road, things start going south. The guys who get on the steroids, their penis doesn't work. The people that trip out on X or heroin or mushrooms or whatever, enough, eventually there's a price to pay for that too. It all just makes perfect cosmic sense. As a matter of fact, it shouldn't be any other way.
Amen.
Well, it would nice. No, let's face it. It'd be nice if it was another way. I would tell people to enjoy if it was another way.
Yeah, but
right?
Drew,
why not?
But Drew, if it was any other way, don't you think it would just sort of throw off the general balance of the universe?
I didn't want to think that far. My thing is, if it worked and were good for people, enjoy. Why not? But it doesn't, and it's bad, and it hurts.
Damn,
people.
We should have just put him. I should have just dropped him right there, because we could have gone to the park and scored. Jesus Christ, Drew, you really ruined that one.
Sorry, I bummed your high.
Yeah, Anna.
Yes.
You're 22.
Yes.
What's up?
I want to make some a point about female masturbation. Like, it's really unintuitive. Like girls don't automatically know how to masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you would think like, oh, you know, like sex is, you know, penis in and out of the vagina. Like, oh, that's how I'm supposed to masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. I want to make I'm sorry. I'm a little nervous.
No, you're saying that masturbation does not mimic intercourse at all.
Yes.
Right. We would agree with that.
Known that. I've had that lesson taught to me the hard way many, many times.
Also,
actually, for me, it's more that sex does not mimic masturbation. That's what I have learned the hard way with women.
Well, or nor does masturbation in a woman in any way mimic masturbation in a male.
Yes.
It's a different experience.
Right.
And so, I also
do you have any techniques you'd like to share other than what not to do?
Okay. Well, you put like one, take two fingers and put one on each side of the clitoris.
Uh-huh.
And rub in a circular motion.
Good times.
Yeah. Okay. Do you put them on each side or do you sort of put it on top?
You could put the clitoris in between, kind of, or...
Right, but you don't open your fingers and pinch it off like you're smoking a clitoris, right?
No, but
both sides, Adam, is actually the more direct route.
That's true.
Gives an opportunity for there to be engorgement. You're smashing it on top, it's not quite the same.
And this clitoris you speak of, is this part of the vagina?
Nearby.
Nearby?
Yes.
I'm going to write that name down and look it up when I get home.
Like, you know, where no hair grows and...
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
I've seen some hair there before.
The thing about the bathtub, you can't really control the water flow. And also...
You can't?
I mean, you can't control it as much as you can control, like, your hand.
Sure.
You can't get as much, you know... So that's kind of hard, you know?
Right.
Like, some women know the hand does nothing. Believe it or not, Anna. That's how different women are.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had to make sure you set the temperature right before you, you know.
With the tub.
Before you get down.
Right. Saying no No scalding hot water, nothing icy cold.
Right.
Maybe I'm riding as fast as I can. Okay.
And, like...
It's kind of like when you give a baby a bath.
Yeah, make sure you said it before. And, I also recommend reading romance novels.
Oh, boy.
In the mood.
Now you lost me.
Well, you're a guy. You like to look at things. But girls is about emotion. And so, like, if they want to, like, get into, like, the right, right emotional state, they can, like, read about, like, you know.
I'm glad you said that, because isn't talk about counterintuitive. For a male, they actually think you're joking. But
yeah.
That is, in fact, what women need.
Yeah, so, like, you know, some Harlequin novels, some of them don't have sex in it, but the Harlequin Presents will have sex in it, yeah.
It will?
Yeah,
and what kind of sex do those books have?
Harlequin Presents. It really sounds like a primate.
Harlequin Romance. Harlequin Romance has no premarital sex.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You mean all those things that Fabio posed for?
Oh, he's not on the Harlequin Romance. Harlequin Presents and some other. See, I don't like know all of the books, but
Anna, don't take this the wrong way, but do you have a huge ass?
Huge ass? No.
I'm just playing a hunch.
No.
Okay, you just seem like
How dare you?
You guys all know. You guys were all thinking that too. Here's this someone is she's reading the bibliography.
How dare you?
I read pretty quickly.
Okay,
you know?
And those books, those romances, is it like the Countess took the young woodsman back to the gazebo and that kind of thing?
Yeah, you can get some medieval ones. Them set in any time period. I mean,
Anna, you're very insightful about this stuff. Help me understand something that no one could ever explain to me adequately.
Okay.
Why do women read Cosmo?
Well, I have read Cosmo. I think on the cover, I look at those like 10 tips to like get a man or whatever. I like ignore it basically. Like, I think it's ridiculous. I think it's only to like, you know, like, kind of like a shocker, like, oh, buy the magazine.
Well, here's reality. You will never talk to a male who will, gloat about how wonderful it was because a woman implied these techniques to him. Ever meet that guy. Ever.
Yeah. And by the way, on the rare occasion that we do have one of these how to drive your man nuts techniques applied to our penis, our first thought is, where'd this whore learn this one? The hell she been doing before she got to my penis? She knows her way around a schwanz.
All the guys want is you to be there and be enthusiastic.
We'd like you to hold still.
Yeah,
yes.
Even that.
Go ahead, James. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think the girl just works for whatever book company it is.
She works for Harlequin Presents.
She got this Harlequin Presents in about 30 times.
She
and
the whole
masturbation bit was just a weird way of getting around to
it was a way to weave in the title of the book. Yeah, I couldn't imagine. And you see those books, too, and they're 3 inches thick. I see them at the news. They're at the checkout line at the supermarket. There's a couple things I could never figure out about those books. One is it's Fabio, right? He made his career.
He posing was this, for them.
Yeah, big hunky model guy that was very hot about a few years back. This guy makes millions of dollars and then starts writing these novels himself and becomes an international sensation.
Wrote them?
Yes, they actually contracted him.
Oh,
this is how stupid women are, by the way. Come on, you girls. You're always complaining that you're smartest guys, but then Fabio writes a novel and he sells 10 million copies. That's stupid. Now, here's what I'm saying. First thing I couldn't figure out is, why do they need this dude to be on every cover? Couldn't you take, first off, do you need a guy, or couldn't you just draw a hunky guy? Couldn't you just go get a bodybuilding magazine or draw Arnold Schwarzenegger's body with a different head on it? Do you need this guy with the shirt off and the pirate pants holding the chick on the deck of a ship? Do you have to draw that? I mean,
does he have to pose for it?
Yeah, that's my point. Why do you need the guy in the room? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, just the computers. Come on.
Just draw it off memory or find, do a computer composite thing. The other thing was they would use the same guy. They would use Fabio. He became very popular. And then his book sold millions and millions of copies. He got very rich off it. So I'm wondering, Drew, read that book. Would you read Fabio's book, please?
Oh, he only wrote one after all.
He probably wrote a few. And then doing the conventions and signing all the books. And Fabio must have been miserable because he had a whole bunch of, like, fat divorcees in their 50s, like, trying to rip his clothes off when he was in Iowa.
You have suggested a career for me when things go south, Adam. I could be your reader.
That's right.
Just read for you.
You'd read my Fabio book. And, Drew, you could pose.
I could pose and read. Oh,
you'd be like the naughty. You'd be the naughty doctor.
How?
You'd have your white lab coat on, but we'd see your pants down around your ankles, and you'd be smiling, pointing a tongue depressor in the general direction.
Quite a sight.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be right back.
The naughty
I'm getting
doctor.
Proud just thinking about it. Yeah.
All right, we'll take just a little break here. Star Sailor's our guest, and we'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew in New York. Star Sailor's our guest tonight. James and James are both in here from the band. Love Is Here is the name of the CD. Dave is 36. Dave?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey.
What's up? I have a little question for you. It has to do with past meth amphetamine use, probably about 3 years.
How much?
How much a day or how long? Or
were you a daily user? Yeah, and how much? Yeah.
Definitely daily, probably, you know, 5-6 times a day.
How many years?
3.
Did you smoke it or snort it?
Both.
Okay.
And the question I think I'm having is now, I just wonder if there's any kind of, that's been about 12 years ago.
Yeah, basically what you've done or what you were doing is creates the same brain injury as about 20 or 30 hits of ecstasy, which is usually some chronic mood problems and memory problems, word finding difficulty, recall, that sort of thing.
So you mean doing all the speed he did was the equivalent of that many hits of ecstasy?
Maybe as many as 70 hits of ecstasy, but some people might say 30 or 40. Yes, exactly. It's the same exact injury.
Well, so speed's the way to go then, right?
You speed, you can have fun for a longer period of time before you get the same injury.
That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
I'm shopping around. I'm playing it smart. I'm not jumping right into my drug abuse.
The nature of the injury caused by speed and ecstasy. Sometimes people, in addition to depression, will get panic and anxiety and that sort of stuff. What's going on with you?
Not so much that. I think it's maybe some stronger mood swing and more of an anger problem.
Well, the hallmark of depression that people often miss is irritability.
Okay.
Irritability is an absolutely almost diagnostic sign of depression. So that's a good bet there.
Hey, Dave?
Yeah.
Just like I said, I'm shopping around for drugs. You know, I'm doing my work. I'm on the internet. I'm talking to Drew. I'm talking to callers. I'm ready to make a move here pretty soon.
That crystal's better than coke for you. That'll
meth. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So you're saying cheaper, right? That you know that counts. It's going to factor in over the long haul,
right?
And of course accessibility. And I also want to be able to pack a lot up my ass when I cross the border and travel.
Not the same risk of a heart attack and stroke. Not quite as bad.
Another interesting point. But Dave, you say you snorted it and you smoked it.
Yeah.
And when you smoked it, I'm guessing it was more but shorter term?
Duration? No, I don't think so.
Really? So
I think it was probably pretty equal.
So snorting a line of it lasted just as long as smoking a bowl of it?
Well, you'd have to, have the little glass pipes and stuff.
Sure. I'm going to invest in.
Right. But
I'm factoring that in, overhead.
Right. But it's like a larger amount that you would take, but it would probably.
But you're saying if you smoked speed, you would be high for as long as if you did a few lines of speed.
Right.
Oh, I always assumed that the smoking was stronger but out of your system faster and that the line stayed with you longer. Not true, huh?
No.
All right. And you just mixed it up just to kind of surprise yourself?
No, because my nose was hurting too bad.
Oh, I see, from snorting it.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Hey, good time, so, all right? All right, good. Hey, you've been off it for 12 years.
There's treatment for this. Obviously, you need medication because it's a biological injury, and the only way to reverse it is with medication.
True. Do you know this to be true with the smoking versus the lines?
What about it?
I'm just surprised that it keeps you that high or keeps you sped up for as long as doing the rails. I don't know why. I can't get past that.
Yeah. It's a long acting drug, no matter how you do it.
And Drew, you can get me some kind of medical grade of this that hasn't been stomped on too many times?
Well, I've been thinking about putting you on a Ritalin, but that's a different issue.
Do you snort that or smoke it? Or?
Some people do.
Okay, well, we'll try that, too. We'll see how that goes. And do I need my own pipe, or is that something you can supply?
No, you got to go buy that at the head shop.
Okay, and they have those at airports and all like malls and stuff?
Grocery stores, malls, yeah.
Okay, I'll pick that up. Leah?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Yeah, I am.
You got a question for the band?
Yeah, actually, I want to say three things to them, if that's okay. And then I'll ask my question. It'll be really fast. Okay, first of all, I just want to say hi to Andy and Les. From your crew. And Les is like the hottest like girl I've ever seen in my life.
I hope he's listening.
I actually know who she is now, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've met you like at Amoeba with my friends.
Right, I know who you are, I think.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And can you say hi to Ben and Barry?
Certainly.
Yeah. Okay, you guys are, you know, pretty amazing, you know. Your album is like really good, and I can't believe how like successful you guys have gotten, like been so far. And so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Okay, so what do you think about, like, the kind of buzz that's been growing around about you, like, both in America and Great Britain?
Nice.
Hey, Leah.
It's,
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Right.
Unfortunately, we're running late to go to commercial.
Oh.
And hopefully we can expand on that just a little bit when we come back. But Nice, I think, covers it too, right?
Yeah.
The band is not upset at their success, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
You guys are okay with it, right?
Yeah.
Good. I think it's nice. Leah?
Yeah.
Sorry, baby, but we got to run a break.
Okay.
All right. Well, look, you said hi to the band. Relax.
But it's so not fair because...
All right. I'm over you now. We'll be back. Well, that's the show. So, Drew, let's see. 3 a.m. over there in New York.
3 a.m.
In bed by 3:45, if you're lucky.
And, up at 5:40.
Up at 5:40, buddy.
Which is, you know, it's only 2:40 Pacific time, which is where my head's at.
Yeah. Don't even go. Don't even. Yeah, but, Drew, if it's 2:40 Pacific, then it's only 12. You see, you can't have it both ways. You can't.
Oh, you're right.
It can't be 3 a.m.
and 2:40.
Otherwise, you're getting up before you went to bed.
Yeah, you're right. Good point.
Yeah,
well,
thank
well
you.
Said.
Thank you.
We've got to say goodbye to Drew, really, haven't we?
Yeah, say bye to Drew.
Goodbye to Drew.
Bye, gentlemen. Thanks for coming up.
I want to thank Star Sailor for coming in here and being great guests and making great music. And all the best to the young band. And please,
cheers.
I'm assuming cheers. That everything's going to work out according to plan for you guys. So don't forget about us and come back and visit us.
Definitely.
Soon.
We will.
So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I'm going to stay out of trouble.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.